Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. This is Elwood Fawn Miller, director of Way of Truth Ministries, the speaker on the broadcast, and delighted you've come to join us. We're looking in the Gospel of John. So if you turn in the Gospel of John to chapter 13 through 17, we're actually going to be looking at 16 a little bit, but our main thought will go take us back to chapter 15 and looking at the principles of a fruitful life. But we're setting the stage why chapter 15 is nestled where it's at in the Word of God, and how the Lord so guided men to put this, His Word, in this proper order. And we'll look at that. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the privileges ours to speak to these dear folk from thy word. Lord, there are folk here listening that probably are going through some great trials, affliction, maybe some throughout our audience and over the web. They listening at the risk of being persecuted greatly by their government or by religious zealots. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll have something to say, and you'll guide our tongue so we might say it, that these dear folk will be helped and encouraged and strengthened. May you be glorified. May somebody be saved. May Christians be uplifted. And we'll thank you because we've asked it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free.
Great song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Think of the portion of scripture where the Greeks said to the disciples, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." It's our prayer that you'll see Jesus through this program, not the physical image of him, but you'll see his working, his direction, his grace. I want to share just a couple of things about our ministry, Way of Truth Ministries, especially with thinking of our missionaries serving the Lord. We have five countries in West Africa in which we're we have missionaries. They're planting churches. And what a blessed privilege it is to work with these men and watch them as they desire to reach their own people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They sacrifice themselves. They sacrifice personal things. Why? Because of their faith in Christ and their desire to see their countrymen has come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. One of the most exciting things that has happened is to watch now we're seeing sons of men who came on board with us back in the, well, I've worked with them since 95. Then 2001, they became part of Way of Truth Baptist Missions. And so I have worked with these men since back in 95. And now watching their sons and their son-in-laws and so forth coming and going into the ministry and following in the footsteps of their dad and mom as their parents have been faithful to the Lord. Now the children are following through. And we certainly are praising the Lord for that. Some of them have gone into other vocations. You know, we've got missionaries whose children are involved in manufacturing. We have children involved in the medical side of things, children involved in education, children involved in the church, in the pastoring, men pastoring churches, and so on. But one of those ministries is located near an Army Ranger training camp. It's a jungle warfare camp. And it's been our privilege to be there and minister there over the years. Dr. Kissinger, who traveled with me for many years, 20 years ago, he and I were there. And we tried to see a ministry established. As a result of our being there, we had street meetings and did visitation, and God has established a church in that area. Now, just this past year, my grandson was with me, and we went to that base along with several national pastors and our director. And what has taken place? They got so excited about how we came and tried to minister to them. They've given our pastor up in that area the right to come in at least once a month. Now, they've got their military training to do, but at least once a month, he can come in and he can teach them. When the government gave them a big cruiser bus to transport their troops, bring from the airport to the base, from the base to wherever they were going to take them, they asked him to come and dedicate the bus. That's a beautiful thing. And so we're just so thankful for how God works. There's another one I will share with you that one of our men had been our director of Liberia for many years. And then finally he wrote to us and said, I would like to step down as the director. I'm going to be leaving my church as a pastor and going to head up this radio ministry. It was a radio station that had been there, kind of floundered along. And so Brother Demi took the radio station. God put him into that position. It has increased. They have a listenership, potential listenership, of over 100,000 people all around the Monrovia area. It's an FM station, and they're broadcasting the gospel. They don't have it 24 hours yet. That's their goal. But through most, I think it's around 20 hours they have, or 18, something like that. And they're getting the gospel out and getting permission to increase their wattage and all of that. And so this is a tremendous ministry. And by the way, I might mention Message of Truth and Living Truth, our programs out of our ministry, and Wonderful Words of Life, another program that I've done for quite some time, are all being aired over that radio station. So the message is going out. God is working in a marvelous way to glorify himself. Now, one other thing on top of that, Brother Demi's son has now been called as the pastor of the church that Brother Demi founded. I think it's just fantastic what God is doing. Thank you for praying for our ministry And please continue to do so. And if you can help support our ministry, you just send a gift in for the mission. And you can say you want it for Liberia, you want it for Ghana, Togo, Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso. And also we have ministries, and we'll talk about them another time, over in India. So we ask you to be praying as we try to reach out to these precious folk. We have many other ministries, and we're going to be sharing those from time to time. Now, your Bible's open to John and chapter 15, our pivotal point. We, on the last broadcast, we're talking to you about prayer. And as we've mentioned again, and I want to say it again, it is interesting to me that you have, now I realize numbers, I'm not talking about the numbers chapter 14, 15, 16, that. I'm talking about the written word, the word that the Lord gave to holy men of God, and in particular here was John, the beloved, and how he has placed it in the order that he's placed it. In chapter 13, you had what we call the Last Supper or the Passover meal. Judas goes out to betray the Lord. Now the Lord starts talking about this intimate relationship that he wants with his disciples, ultimately with you and me who know the Lord. And so he gives them chapter 13, talking about the Spirit of God, like verse 16 of chapter 14. I could go back to chapter 13. Yeah, I know I mentioned that. You have in chapter 13 a wonderful picture. The disciples did not look into their company and expect that anybody would betray the Lord. And that's wonderful. You ask the average church member probably, and I'm not going to say everyone will do that, but they'll find, well, I thought so-and-so might not be right up top and all that. No, these disciples didn't do that. They thought Judas was going out to get more food. Of course, they're typical Baptists. They were hungry, or typical independent Bible church, because they wanted to eat, you know. No, seriously, they didn't have any suspicion of Judas. Interesting in my mind. But in chapter 14, verse 16, the Lord says this, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, he could not say that in chapter 13 because the Holy Spirit was not going to abide in Judas. Oh, if he had repented, yes, but he didn't. He 3 years with the Lord and still didn't follow through with the Lord. He probably gave mental assent. Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. Well, sure he did. Jesus lived. You have to believe in that fact. But he had not put his personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Some of you might be listening to me, as I was, and I believed that Jesus died for my sin. I had no question about that. But I thought when he died on the cross that everything was there. That was taken care of. I didn't have to do another thing. He died for my sin. I could just live like I was living and do what I was doing, and it didn't matter. Well, then one day the Lord brought the truth of the Word of God to me that he died for my sin personally and for yours. And I realized that it was me who had nailed him to that cross. My sin put him there. And I invited him to forgive me of my sin and to save my soul. And that's when I became a child of God. So that's what he's talking about here in chapter 14. And then when he comes to chapter 15, and there's a lot more there, okay? Chapter 15, he starts talking about this vine and branches. I'm a branch in that vine, and I cannot produce any kind of fruit in my life unless I am abiding in that vine. And so you can go along your merry way and embrace the church and be baptized and take communion and do whatever and still not be saved. You see, what the point is that you and I have to come to that place in our life where we realize personally it is our sin that nailed him to the cross. Well, that's what Jesus is teaching them. Now, he's teaching them when you come into chapter 14. He said about, I want to talk to you about prayer. And you and I will not have a fruitful life unless we are praying. Now, I'm not telling you how much time to pray, when to pray. I'm telling you that we need to pray. You know, the disciples prayed to the Lord. They said, teach us to pray. Not the words to say. There's a model prayer. Yes, Matthew chapter 6. Our Father which art in heaven, and so forth. There is that model prayer. They were asking the Lord to teach them, in a sense, when to pray. You know, in what situation. And I've been with so many different people that really, you know, it's interesting. I've been with some that's no more. We got in the car and started the car and they'd start praying. I think they were praying because I was driving, but nonetheless, no, seriously, they were praying for the Lord to give us a safe trip. I've been with people who have gone into grocery stores and before they went, Lord, help us to buy that which we have need of and that which would be of help to us or whatever. And you know, and they did that with anything else they were doing. So the disciples say, teach us to pray, how to pray. Well, yeah, when? And those things. Well, the Lord said in verse 13 of chapter 14, he says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look at that. The answer to our prayers that the Lord brings through are to bring glory to God. So that's why we ought to be thankful when we do pray and we see God work, or even before he answers. Thank him for the answer he's going to give, because it will be right. And he said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, he comes over here to chapter 15, and there's other things about prayer here. I didn't give you everything. But look at verse 7 of chapter 15. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, he's talking about this engrafted branch in the vine. If you abide in me my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Then he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So obviously, if I pray and seek God's face, for that which I may have need of or that which I desire, he is going to answer that prayer so that God gets the glory. Well, we'll continue on that. We're going to listen to a song right now and then back to this matter of prayer.
Blessed light of Jesus' love, walking every hour, walking every day, walking in the strength he gives us from above, walking with Jesus alone, walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone. Narrow way, walking every hour, walking every day. Save me from the tempter's fiery darts today. Save me, O Jesus, I pray. Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadows, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadows, walking with Jesus alone. By the river on the golden shore, walking every hour, walking every day, walking in the Savior's presence evermore, walking with Jesus at home, walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone. Alone.
walking with Jesus. I hope you are. I hope that my life stays to walk with the Lord. So many times we like to stray off to the side, but let's just walk with the Lord. What a good song. All right, we're talking about prayer, and we just had looked at verses 7 and 8 of chapter 15. Now, again, our Lord talks about this matter of prayer. If you go over 23 of chapter 16, he says, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now, you take notice of that. Over in chapter 15, it's that God gets the glory as he prays. But in chapter 16, he says now, the offshoot of that, the fallout of that, is that you'll have joy. You'll have joy as you rejoice in allowing God to answer your prayers. And in verse 26, "At that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God." So you take notice how God unfolds this answering of prayer. You pray in Jesus' name. You have his word abiding in you in chapter 15. You have the joy of the Lord in your heart because you're coming to the Lord who is going with your prayer request right to the Father. And the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, what this does, he leads us over here to the reality that the Father is interested in us. He loves us. And therefore, he will answer our prayer. Then he goes into his prayer in John 17. Christ prays, and I wish we had time, and we'll do that on another broadcast or two, and we'll look at and decipher chapter 17, because it is a most beautiful chapter insofar as prayer, and just looking at the circumference of that prayer, covering everything from that moment there with his disciples to you and I today. And what a prayer it is. That is definitely the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to see verse 26 of this prayer in John 17. "Neither pray I for these alone." He's talking about his disciples. He said, "I'm praying for these 11. But," now notice what else, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Who's that? That's you and me. That's everyone who has ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as they've heard the word of God. And there's no way that you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." So the word of God is what brings us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We do that through hearing the word of God. If somebody took Romans in chapter 10 and verse 13 and shared that with you, how to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you, you see, you've heard the word of the disciples. You say, well, Paul wasn't there with that company in chapter 17. No, he wasn't. But it covers every one of us. If you got saved listening to our radio ministries, you see, we're giving God's word. It's not ours. This isn't the Bible of Way of Truth Ministries. It is God's word, and we of Way of Truth Ministry adhere to it. We believe it. We study it. We teach it. We preach it. You see, this is God's word. So what the disciples wrote wasn't their word. It's what God had given them. Peter said, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost did the work in the lives of the writers of Scripture. All the way back from Moses on up through, or you actually could take Job. I don't know who wrote Job, if Job wrote Job, but that's the oldest book that is believed in the Bible. But anyway, of all the 40 authors that God used, they were holy men of God. Farmers, politicians, kings, you name it, singers. God used so many. And yet, it is all intact, one word. That is the Word of God. Now back to chapter 15, and we're only going to get a chance to just begin here, and then we'll, on the next broadcast, we'll be dealing with chapter 15. But I believe that it was essential to look at chapters 13, 14, 16, 17, the nestling part where 15 fits in. And so we see, he said, I am the vine, and ye are the, and my Father is a husbandman. And it's interesting to me that Jesus Christ used the language of what the people he was talking to. They understood what the vine and the vineyard was all about. Well, I'm not talking about the grapes and that kind of thing, but what is a vine? What is the branch? You know, in chapter 10, he talked about the sheep. They knew that. They saw the sheep dotting the hillsides and all of that, and they knew what the shepherd was. They knew a good shepherd, a bad one. And so they were well understanding of these illustrations. And he talked about the beggars, and he talked about so many different aspects, the sacrifices. All the people understood. You know, may I say this to we preachers? Let's keep, I read this one time from an old sage, and he said this. He said, keep the cookies on the bottom shelf so the children can get them, and there'll be no problem with the adults reaching them. And you know, that's true. Let's get the cookies down where our kids can understand. It's not so out of the question. Some of us get the idea we got to be so intellectually savvy. You don't have to be. Just be simple. Interesting that God called a fisherman, a tax collector, he called a doctor. Yeah, he called an educated man in Paul. But he called them those that had compassion on others and thought of others. He called all kind of people just to serve him. And that's exactly what he wants you and I to realize. He is the vine. God is a husband. He's the one that will take, he's a husbandman of that vineyard, and he is going to take care of it. And you and I, who know the Lord as our personal Savior, are the branches. And he wants something great from us that he will produce. Well, this is Brother Fon Miller. Thank you so much for listening. If we might be of spiritual help to you, you can contact us at WOTBM.org or go to our website. And then you can log in on different aspects there and see where you can look at. W-O-T at WOTBM.org. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and if we can be a spiritual help to you, please allow us. Father, speak to hearts, save souls, encourage Christians, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.